Jesus? Amen. Amen. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said, right? I have a prayer request this morning from Brother Jamie. He's been out for a little bit. He's helping his daughter. I forget where she's living now, Georgia. So he had a special prayer request. She's kind of got herself into a situation that somebody she invited in her home, and they won't leave, and it's kind of a mess. And let's just pray for Jamie and Ashley and the kids there, and not a good situation. How many has a prayer request on your heart? Just hold it up to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you're greater than all spirits in this world, Lord. And no matter what comes our way, Father, you saw it before the foundation of the world, but you are the answer to our problems, Lord. And Lord, we commit Brother Jamie to you and his daughter and her family. And Lord, if she's made some mistakes, oh God, just forgive her, Lord, and help her fix that situation, Lord. Take control of all those evil spirits, Lord, that would try to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, bring peace and rest to that family, Father. And Lord, for all the hands that were lifted up, my hand too, Lord. We have needs that, Lord, in ourself, we can't fix them, Lord. But Lord, you are the God that does the impossible. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, when Israel was backed against the Red Sea, you opened the Red Sea. Amen. Not only did they cross, Lord, they crossed on dry ground. Lord, and then after they crossed over, the Egyptian army followed and you destroyed them. Lord, you're a mighty God. And we worship you today. We honor the resurrection when your body died and you were in that grave. But before the third day, on the third day, you rose from the dead, O God. We believe it, Lord, and you're alive today and you want to live in us and you want to overcome through us. And I ask you to bless each and every one here. We commit all of our requests to you. We lay them down at the foot of Calvary. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, and wash us and fill us and change us and meet our needs, O God. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. I thank you for doing it, Lord. I thank you for blessing the reading of your word today. We commit the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. While we're standing, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And I'm just going to read a few verses, and then I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, just one verse. So first, Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. When we stand on your word, we stand on a rock, a solid rock. We stand on something sure, O God. Help us, Lord, today. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Before we get into the scriptures today, we'd have a fellowship meal, and I know Maureen's been decorating there, and international theme. And on that note, you know, we kind of have a unique assembly, even though we're not a very large group of people. There's many different countries here that we fellowship with. So that's one of the reasons we bought the map on the wall in the hallway near the bathroom. And I know the kids have fun just moving the things around, and, you know, I get it. I would do the same thing probably. And but what I'd like to do today, since we're here, if you have to go, maybe you could help us out, but take one of the index cards in the back, and if you're not from the United States, we kind of get the United States. We know where that is. It's all the other countries that we struggle with. And that's why we bought that map, because people would come from different countries. I'm thinking, I have no idea where that is. So what I'd like to do is, if you could fill out your name, the city and the country that you're from, and kind of turn that in, and then also put the marker where it should be. And then today, when we get all that together, I'll have the names and I'll have the cities and the countries, and I'll take a picture of where the markers should go, and maybe we'll put the picture on the wall somewhere, and then when the kids have fun, we can kind of put it back where it should be. And then I get it. You know, it's not like a permanent thing, but it's educational for me, and I think. Everybody probably likes to see that. So Thursday night we had Brother Marcel from, he fellowships with Brother Mike Walls, and he had a wonderful thought that he was sharing with us. And I appreciated his attitude. You know, he had a good attitude. And, you know, there's something about when somebody really believes what you believe, you know. And there's so many different tangents that we won't go into. We talked about the scarecrows last week, but around the message. But, you know, he was, it encourages me to see someone believing in the simple gospel, preaching the simple gospel, preaching about love and forgiveness, and not wanting to make the message a new gospel. Because I think that is one of the very important things. And it's, we're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And devils, real demon spirits, infiltrate the ranks of the message to pervert the gospel. Because if they can pervert what you believe, one word, then God's going to take his hands off that. We are to leave the word of God as it is and believe it as it is. And not put our own ideas with it, not say, well, I think it means this, I'm going to guess this, I'm going to preach it as if it's a great revelation. And I look at that, and I roll my eyes, and so it was encouraging to meet Brother Marcel, because I could see, here's a brother who believes what I believe. And what I believe is in my heart, it's a very strong belief. I could be wrong too, everybody could be wrong, but it encourages me because I feel like we're standing for what's right. And criticize. We get criticized. Oh, that's kindergarten. You know, we're into the word, brother. You don't believe the word. No, I believe the word. You're just got a weird spirit and you're off somewhere. And we see so much of that. So it was encouraging. So he fellowship with Mike Walls. That church has grown. I think many of the people are international believers. That's why they call it International Fellowship. He said more than 300 people, that are fellowshipping there. I know years ago it wasn't that. So, you know, in some ways it's easier to be part of a bigger fellowship. But he said he valued smaller fellowship. So, you know, there's problems on both sides, right? But I think, you know, the scripture tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as we see that day approaching. So it should be, really, if you love God, it should be in your heart to come to church. You know, and that's not a law. You don't have to, but why don't you want to? Well, I got something else to do. Well, I think you really need to examine yourself. Is that bringing you closer to God? Is the choices you're making? So anyway, we had a good good time, just a few of us here on Thursday night. Sister Dot is turning 90. And so I forget when her birthday is. It's the 24th. But the party's on Saturday, the 26th, and it will be here. So from noon to 5 p.m. And so if you don't really know Sister Dot, you know, then we kind of understand if you're not there. But for those of you who would like to come and greet her, there will be some food, and we're going to have some singing, right? We're going to sing and worship the Lord. So should be a good time. And you don't have to stay the whole 5 hours. You can come in and go to. So praise the Lord. Anything else today? So I want to get right into the scriptures, and you know, some challenging scriptures that we read today. And I want to title this "Selling All," because that's what the parable said. That's what Jesus said. What I notice in the scriptures that we read today was that once we see the truth, action is expected. Once we see truth, God expects action. And so we're going to talk about that today. And I'm just using this mic because I can hear myself better out of the monitor. So it's not enough to find treasure. See, it's not enough to find it, to recognize it, the treasure in the field. It's great to find treasure, yes, but he sold all that he had to secure the treasure. So you see the action? He found it, which to me, that's the grace of God. The grace of God leadeth you to repentance. The grace of God is what draws you to God. The grace of God is the calling of God, the invitation of God. But when you look at and you try and keep your balance in the scriptures and not go too far one way or the other, I think it's clear there's a response needed. There's something in us that needs to respond to the grace of God. And yes, you could say, well, that's the grace of God to respond. I get that. I get that. It's all grace in the end of the day. But what is it that we control? For instance, you didn't have to come to church today. Well, some of you maybe were forced to come, but for the most part, people come because they want to come. So you make a choice based on the drawing inside of you that I want to go to church. And it's not just about going to church. I want to read my Bible today. I want to pray today. Nobody forces you to do it, but it's an action that you take. So it's not enough that the merchant identified a pearl of great price. He's a man, Jesus is telling this parable now, he's a man seeking goodly pearls, a merchant. And then he finds one, and he sees the value. Now notice, it's not enough to see the value. He had to possess that. It had to be something that was his personally. It's not enough to recognize the value of the gospel. It's not enough to recognize the value of all the promises of God. There's something more that we need to do. That man, when he found that goodly pearl, he sold everything so he could have it. Because that was more important than anything else that he had. Do you see the attitude? Now, who told this parable? This is not my parable. Jesus told this parable. So we need to understand, what was he saying to us? He was talking to us, right? Was he saying, you have to earn your salvation? You know, we can't do that. We know we can't do that. But is he saying that there's a response expected from us? I think he is. I think he's calling to us today to respond to him. He's calling us to respond. So he had to sell all that he had to possess it. It's good to believe in God. I mean, I will never criticize someone who says, I believe God. That's a great thing to believe in God. But once you understand that there is a God, you shouldn't rest until his spirit is having preeminence in you. You see, there's no, remember we preached a long time ago about the tribes of Israel were promised the promised land, and some of them got right up to the promised land and they settled outside it. They missed the whole point. Why would you want to settle for less than the full promise? Why would we as believers, as Christian professing believers, want to settle for a life that is less than what God has promised to us? We shouldn't do that, okay? And so it's good to believe, but we shouldn't sit back. God, what did Hebrews say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, what's faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is when you believe for something that you don't have. You believe. There's faith in you that says, that's mine. Healing is mine. Salvation is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost overcoming through me is mine. The Word made manifest through me, that's mine. You see, faith declares to you, even if you don't have it today, that that's really where you should be. That's for you. So faith, it's impossible to please him without faith. For he that cometh to God, and I can say everyone here should be one, like, I'm one that comes to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. It doesn't stop there, though. How many believes that God is? See, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe he exists, see? There's some people that don't believe there's a God, and that's kind of seems odd to be that way. Most people believe there's a God. So, must believe that he is. We got that. And that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I believe I could say this. If you've ever diligently sought God with all your heart, then you found him. And he rewarded you. Because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and he doesn't regard man's person. If you come with the same faith and the same attitude, and he rewarded one, he's going to reward you. I believe that. Healing was not based on impartiality, it's based on faith. There was sainted people that came into prayer lines and they weren't healed because they struggled with reasoning and I'm not worthy and all those things. But a sinner would come into the meeting and say, I believe it. And they'd get healed and saved at the same time. Why? Because it's not based on your works. It's based on your faith. But your faith should drive you to seek God. Because real faith that God exists won't allow you to rest without interacting with him. The grace of God in our life tells us that he is, but also that he wants me to interact with him. He wants to communicate with me. Amen? And if you've ever sought God with all your heart, diligently, diligently is not half-hearted. And that's where I think this parable is going to us. So they sold all that they had to secure it. So when you half-heartedly seek God and you don't find him, well, it doesn't surprise me. But when you seek him with all your heart, and we can't judge that for you, you judge that for yourself. If you seek God with all your heart, he's going to reward that. How is he going to reward that? In many different ways. He's a great God. He's a mysterious God. He's an unusual God. He speaks many different ways. He may just confirm to you in something that somebody could call coincidence, but he can confirm to you, I see you're coming after me. That's good. Keep coming. Keep coming. I remember one time Samantha, when she was younger, before she was married, and I don't know why this comes to my mind, but she started listening to Brother Branham on her own. In her room, and something happened where I don't know if I preached something or something like that, and I used the quote of Brother Branham, and when she started playing Brother Branham in her room, it was the exact quote and words that I had just said to her, and that meant something to her. And have you ever experienced that, where you could be in church and the preacher doesn't know anything about your life, he doesn't know what you've been doing, reading, and all of a sudden, the same scripture, the same topic. I've had many people, visitors, come in and say, you answered questions, that all the questions I had were answered. See, and that's not me, because I don't know, but God's able to move the gift of God to speak. And that's a reward for seeking God. Because it reveals to you that he's real, and it just gives you more incentive to keep pursuing him. Because listen, we don't add anything to God when we seek him. He adds to us. Amen. We don't add anything to God when we worship him. He's got angels worshiping him. Amen. He doesn't need us to be all that he is. The blessing of God is that he adds to us when we seek him. He enhances our life. We have that more abundant life the more he's in our life, the more we yield to him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I wanted to look at this. It was just come at me that, you know, without faith. Now remember, works is faith expressed. Brother Branham preached a wonderful sermon. If you've never heard it, it's a beautiful, beautiful sermon that keeps a balance in the scripture. And I think that's the beauty of Brother Branham being a simple man. The Holy Spirit was able to move him through the years and keep a balance in the scriptures. He preached election, predestination, but he also preached a gospel where he you don't feel easy in sin, right? He called it out. Tear your hide off, right? So there was a balance there. And when he talked about works as faith expressed, he said, when Paul spoke about Abraham in Romans, that Abraham was justified by his faith in God, faith alone, that was what God saw in Abraham. But when James talked about Abraham, he said he was justified by his works. Now, there was no contradiction. Paul was showing the part of it that God was seeing. God was looking at his faith, Abraham. James was talking about what other men saw in Abraham because he believed there were works in his life. So works is faith expressed. You follow me? So because he believed, he took action. Now, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, in Genesis 12:1, I'll just read one verse. He says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and went to a land that I would show thee. So God spoke to Abraham, saying, get out of your country, get out from your kindred, unto a land that I'll show thee. Now, what if Abraham didn't leave his country? Now that would show that he didn't believe. The fact that he believed the word of God caused him to go out. It caused him to take action. What God saw was his faith. What man saw is he left town. He left. What caused him to leave was the faith that God saw. Amen? That's the balance in it. So, you know, if he didn't leave, that would show you that he didn't believe. It would show you that he didn't believe. So, but because he believed, he went out. You know, that's the same for us today. We can say we believe the word of God, but our actions tell what we believe. You could say, I believe all the word of God. Every word of God, I believe it. But when it comes to loving my wife, can't do it. Won't do it. The Bible says to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a self-sacrificing love. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, sisters, give me an amen. Amen. And the Bible also says that a wife should obey her husband in all things. Well, wait a minute, Brother John. You just don't know who I'm married to. See, that's reasoning. That's reasoning with the Word of God. So I say, if the men and women believe the Word of God, they will take action based on the Word of God. And if you don't take action based on the Word of God, then you don't believe it. No matter how much you want to act religious and say that you believe it, if you're an ornery, backbiting and bitter kind of spouse to your husband or wife, something's wrong somewhere.
Amen.
That is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will line up with the Word of God. It'll actually cause you to do things that your flesh doesn't want to do. But you will yield to the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a kid, but I never obey my parents. It means you're not really a believer. If you're a believer, you will obey your parents in the Lord. You see how serious this becomes? Our actions testify what we believe. Oh, I love Jesus. I love him, love him, love him. But your life doesn't testify that. Your life will testify. He's the one that said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's all great, you saying you love me. But remember, Jesus said the Pharisees, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines of men, right? With their mouth, they say good things, but with their heart is far from me. He doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to say one thing, but our heart causes us to do another thing. Oh, help us, Lord. Brother John, leave me alone today, Brother John. See, love is corrective. It's not love for someone just to pat you on the back when you're wrong and let you keep going in the wrong way. Love will challenge you to say, listen, in my life, I know the Holy Ghost loves me because when I do something wrong, he doesn't let me get away with it.
Amen.
When I get out of line and then I go to pray, he's right there. What about then? You go down and apologize. I don't want to apologize. You want to get somewhere with me? You go down and apologize right now. If you don't have that kind of relationship with God, where's the Holy Ghost in your life? Oh, no, Brother John, I never apologize. I always make the other person apologize. Where's the Holy Ghost in your life? Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Help us, Lord Jesus. Listen, the truth is we're all wrong. Every one of us is wrong. We all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost in our life to get us back in line. And without the Holy Ghost, you will justify sin. You will justify your actions. You'll reason away the Word of God every time, and you'll have no conviction about it. And then you'll claim to love Jesus, too. The whole world says they love Jesus. All the Christians, look how many Christians say they love Jesus, but aren't going in the rapture. We don't want to be that kind of Christian. I would say boldly, we want to be the kind of Christian that says they love Jesus, and when he comes for the rapture, we go in the rapture.
Amen.
Outside of that, Lord help us. So, let's go to James chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, and Amber will put it up. James chapter 2, verse 14. And let's dwell on this thought. Because sometimes I think we get out of balance with grace, and then it becomes a greasy grace, if you know what I mean. Grace, grace, becoming a disgrace. Because it's all grace, but that means I don't have to serve God. No, grace will cause you to repent. Grace will cause you to take action. Grace will cause you to seek God. Grace will get you out of sin. It's not grace if you remain in sin. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked, now look at his example, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Be warmed, God will bless you. And you don't help him out. You see what it's saying? That's not really God. That's not really love. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now that scripture right there tells us, believing that there's one God is not enough. It's not enough. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our faith justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought without his works? See how faith wrought with his works, and by works that was faith made perfect? That's a beautiful saying there. By works his faith was made perfect. So in other words, if you have faith without works, your faith is not made perfect. The works is the completion of the grace of God and the faith in your life. It moves you towards doing something about it.
Amen.
Action. The Bible calls us to action. I believe the Holy Spirit today is calling you and I, every one of us, to take action based on our faith. And not to sit back and say, well, I believe. Well, what are we doing about it if we believe? Was not he justified? Seest thou, verse 20, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now that is the word of God. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
James is not wrong. He was taking another aspect of faith, showing that works is the completion of our faith. Your grace and your faith in God will lead you to take action to obey the word of God. Imagine if Rahab, she's saying, well, I believe Israel's God is God, right? She believed that. I believe Israel, God, is going to like conquer this city. And then the spies come in and she's like, no, you ain't coming in here. No, her faith that Israel's God was God and that there was coming a destruction caused her to take a big risk and let them in her house. Because she thought it was a greater risk not to help them, not to be associated with them, than to stay as she was. And that's the choice that faces us today. Do we want to remain as we are, or do we believe that there's a higher walk for every one of us today? There's a closer walk with God. I believe as children of God, we should expect the supernatural.
Amen.
And I love every testimony and giving glory to God, but when there's a natural explanation, that's different than when there's a supernatural that can't be explained. Amen? Like Smith Wigglesworth, I remember Brian Freeborn talking about, he was kind of an abrupt man. You know, when the man died, he kept slamming him against the wall. Do you remember that testimony? He was kind of rough with his faith, Smith Wigglesworth. So there was a funeral, and the man was dead, and he put everybody out, and they heard banging in the room. And he was standing the man up against the wall saying, rise, and he'd fall on the ground. He's standing up again against the wall. You're right. And falling. He had a bulldog faith, right? And the man rose from the dead. Now, maybe you don't have the faith to throw a dead body against the wall. But he did. And the man rose from the dead. And he would say, if there's a natural explanation, I don't accept that. Now, I accept all glory to God, right? And I think we should give glory to God because he provides our bread. He provides our food. He provides shelter. He provided a place for us to worship. He provides everything to us. And we should give him glory and testify of that every day. But what I'm trying to say is, as children of God, we have a right to believe for the supernatural power of God. That which cannot be explained happening in our lives. Not as a rare thing, but as a regular thing. And less than that, we're not satisfied. Now, I remember I went to a church and they said, well, Brother John's not satisfied with the Word. And see, the truth is, no, I am satisfied with the Word, but my expectations of God are a bit higher than yours. If you're not expecting God to do anything, where's your faith? Is he? We say how many times he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then when we wake up today, are we expecting him to manifest himself as a deliverer, as a healer, as a supernatural God? I love how the general in Israel, he says, you Christians, you believe in miracles. But we in Israel, we live by them. We live by miracles. Why? Because when there was a need, they needed to see God on the scene. Praise the Lord. So it's what we end up trusting in. But I believe our expectations need to change. That our expectations need to be higher. Not of other people, but of God. Again, you know, my personality, I think that expectations of others should be zero. And expectations of God should be infinite. Because he's an infinite God and all things are possible if we only believe.
Hallelujah.
So faith without works is dead. And we live in an age where many people, and you know this is true, say they believe God. Actually, sometimes you meet somebody and you're thinking, wow, that's like the most worldly person in the world, smoking, drinking, cussing, and looking like the devil. And then they claim to be Christians. And you're like, you're a Christian? And you're almost horrified. See, and I tell you, that is the value of the message of the hour. We could not say, listen, we couldn't accept that. I'm not saying they're not a Christian. I'm not saying I couldn't live there and testify I'm a Christian. Because I heard a voice from above. I heard an Elijah ministry. I heard a straight and narrow gospel. Right? You know, those people that manifest those things, they say they believe, but they're manifestations of unbelief. Smoking, drinking, lying, stealing, committing adultery, all those things are testifying that unbelief exists. Because if you believe, you don't do those things. Help us, Lord. So many people say they're Christians, but the life coming out of them doesn't testify the same thing. So what kind of life do we see coming out of us? Now, here's where I want us to focus not on other people, but on ourselves. What kind of fruits are coming out of our life? What's coming out of us? What's in our heart? Do we see the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Do we see action based on faith in the Word of God? You know, Matthew 7, let me just read a portion of Scripture, Matthew 7, 13. And I guess Amber can put that up. There's going to be many disappointments when Jesus comes back. Listen, the bride is going to be ecstatic because she's going to be taken out of here. But do you realize that's a small portion of those that are claiming to be part of the bride? Really only a small portion. It's not for me to say this one's in, that one's not in. That's not it. It's an individual relationship with God. But I do believe there'll be many disappointments when Jesus comes. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So few find it. We're one of the few that find it, but what do we do when we find it? Because of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Listen, always follow the fruits of somebody if you want to know what spirit. What fruits do they produce? Follow the fruits of a ministry. What does it produce in the people? There's some big name ministries around the message, and the people that follow are very hard and very critical. To me, that's fruits of the ministry. Brother Branham's ministry, I don't think it produced that kind of fruits. It produced love. It produced a sweetness that was in him. See, and that's what I love about Brother Branham's ministry was the humility of it. Yes, the power of God, but I'm not going to sacrifice the humility and meekness of it to get the power of God. Because there's people that have power, but they don't seem to have the right spirit. Help us, Lord. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast to the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now notice that scripture. Not every, many are saying, Lord, Lord. Many are calling him out as their Lord. But notice, they're not doing the will of God. They're not doing the will of God. So they're saying, Lord, Lord, but they don't do it. They don't do what he wants them to do, whether they're ignorant of it or whether they know it and they choose not to do it. Notice, he that do, that's the main thing, he that doeth the will of my Father. It's grace to know the will of God, but do we do it? Help us, Lord. Not everyone that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say, now Jesus is talking and Jesus doesn't lie. Many, there's many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? See, obviously these people were depending. I prophesied, so I'm in. I spoke in tongues, so I got it. How many people are like that? I manifested something at one time in my life, so I'm in. You see, be careful when you want to have an evidence of the Holy Ghost. Because when you're resting on that, you stepped back from faith in the Word of God. All right? Don't trust in any evidence, because you can prophesy and still not make it. You can speak in tongues and still not make it. That was made clear in the message of the hour, right? Many will come to me in that day and say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? And in thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How disappointing is that going to be? You're talking about somebody who claimed to be a Christian. You're talking about somebody that manifested Christian works. You're talking about somebody that actually manifested a gift of the Holy Spirit. Say, how can that be? Brother Branham preached anointed ones at the end time. You can be anointed with the real Holy Ghost, but have something wrong inside here, and you're not really a Christian. He said you could have that anointing of the Holy Spirit every day of your life and still not be born again. We need the Holy Ghost in our soul. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, not just where I feel good when I'm in church and I feel good when I sing, but we receive Christ inside of our soul, and he is the most important thing to us, and that's manifested because his word is more important than anything. It's more important than what I want. It's more important than what the world wants. I stand for it, that because he's inside here. He's king now. I've stepped off the throne. Jesus is my king. Jesus is my king. Praise the Lord. Now notice verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's not enough to hear. Many people hear and don't do. And say, it's grace. I met a man who was taking drugs. I said, you really believe you're a Christian? He goes, oh, if there's anything I have to do, then forget it. It's not grace anymore. That's blindness. If you're doing drugs, if you're committing adultery, there's an evil spirit in your life. That's right. And you need to repent of that and confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. But when you justify and say, oh, it's just grace, that's not really grace. That's a disgrace to God. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. Which built his home on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what we want to be. If you want to be founded on a rock, then do what you hear Jesus telling you to do. Don't reason it away. Don't say, I'm tired. Don't baby your flesh, man. Do that which is contrary to your flesh, but which is what God wants you to do. Wise man. Verse 25. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Now I want you to notice something. I remember Brother Freedom came here. He preached a wonderful sermon about the storms. He said, you're either in a storm or you're coming out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm. And he preached a sermon about it. It was very good. I remember it. And it highlights something I always believe. Listen, a storm is coming to everybody. Just because you're a real Christian doesn't mean no storms come. This is a life of trials. This is a life of testing. This whole life is boot camp. This is a life of training and learning eternal truths. By faith in God, we overcome. See, but a storm is coming to you. If you're not in a storm, there's one headed your way. Oh, don't say that, Brother John. Listen, if you're planted on Christ, you'll get through it. Amen. The house won't fall. See, there's a storm coming. I could say to every marriage, there's a storm. Why? Because there are devils that want to destroy every marriage. And how do you get through it? Not by being stubborn. You get through it by being in touch with Jesus. And humbling yourself when you don't think you should have to. Help us, Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. They're not my words. That's the formula. That's the formula. Conform to the word of God. Praise God. Brother Branham said, you women, you serve God as you serve your husband. Oh! Listen, if you react like that, that's an evil spirit on you. I can tell you right now, it's a devil. It's a modern worldly devil. Praise God. Amen. And I'll say, husbands, if your wives don't feel cherished and loved, something wrong with us. Because when someone loves Jesus, the love of Jesus makes you feel cherished. His love to us, we feel that. Amen. We feel that love. And that's, we should take that, husbands, as our responsibility. My family should know that I love them. And if they don't have that, feel that love, then where's the Holy Ghost, brother? Where's the Holy Ghost? Don't tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and your family doesn't feel loved at all. Let's just be honest. God is love. Yes. Brother Rand said, love should rule the home. Amen. Love. And when Christ loves us with his love, that causes us to want to submit to him. Yes. And when a man loves his family unconditionally and self-sacrificingly, the family wants to. They want to submit to that kind of leadership. See, it's two sides. Don't sit there blaming one another. That blame game, that the devil just sits back and laughs. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. But while you're humbling yourself, that's not the time you're going to be exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Remember the story about the woman that made the eggs for her husband? I love that story. Oh, well, that was just a story Brother Branham told, you know, just to cause emotion. No, that was a principle. She was loving her husband unconditionally. And he's at the bar. And his buddy says, there are no real Christians. And the guy's at the bar drinking. He goes, yeah, there is. Now, what caused him to say that? He was watching her while he was in sin. See? It was her life. Her submissive life. Do you think she liked submitting to a drunk who wasn't a Christian? But she was submitting to Christ. And they're in the bar, and the guy says, there's no real Christians. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. There's no real Christians. He said, yes, there is. Come on, I'll show you one. And he takes his buddies back to his house, and he comes into the house. Now, remember the story. He didn't come in all sweet and everything. Make us something to eat. He was rough with her. He was testing her. You know why he did it? He knew what she was going to do. He knew she was going to submit. So she tried to make it nice, made the eggs, and he throws the eggs on the floor. I hate when you make it that way. And they go outside, and they go in and watch her. And she's down there, you know, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. She's weeping. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. See, she didn't try to change her husband. She went to God. And that was powerful. That humbling yourself to God is more powerful than all your human effort. Because listen, let's face it, human effort doesn't change anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that changes people. And we should have the kind of faith that says, I can't change anybody. I'm going to humble myself to Jesus. I'm going to submit to Jesus. And that means I'm going to have to humble myself to other people. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. See, there'll come a time when he'll show. I remember I was at a marriage banquet, and there was a man who was, I'm not going to say who he was, but he wasn't behaving properly. And he had a very sweet wife who was very kind and gentle, and she hardly didn't say much, but she followed her husband even though he was wrong. Even though he was wrong, she stayed with him. And they were at a table, and we were at the table. Maureen was there, and Maureen wasn't a Christian at the time. And John LaFontaine was doing like a marriage banquet. And John was seated very far away, very far away. He couldn't hear what we were talking about at our table. So this man who has this precious Christian wife, he's being like a comic. He said, well, I told my wife I loved her when we got married. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. In other words, he doesn't tell his wife that he loves her every day, right? He doesn't say I love you to his wife. And she sat there and she took it. She just, you know, and everybody at the table's like, yeah. He was obnoxious, right? Not less than a couple minutes after he said that to that table and embarrassed his wife, John LaFontaine stood up from the pulpit far away and he says, and if any of you men say, I told her I loved her when I married her, but if anything changes, I'll let her know. And he hammered that thing and that man was humiliated. And I said, praise God. God would not permit her to take that. And I bet you, countless times that man realized, my wife is submissive, but watch out. There's somebody watching over her. We should have that kind of faith. Do you think that was a comfort to her? I believe it was. Praise the Lord. Not just hear the word of God, but do it. Every one of them. I'm preaching to myself. We've got to not just believe. We've got to do what we say. Do what we know is right. Again, I believe in the grace. That grace lets us see. Grace lets us see. Grace draws us to Him.
Amen.
I believe that. It's a drawing. It's a hunger. It's a thirsting. It's grace that we have faith to believe. But the grace of God will not allow us to remain in sin. Don't tell me that's grace that lets you, appeases you, and lets you stay in sin. That's not grace to me.
Amen.
That's the worldly, so-called grace that's not real. Grace is you're alone and the Holy Spirit convicts you. And you can't stay in sin. Help us, Lord. Let's go to Acts 19. I know I'm taking too long. Acts 19, verse 1. Help us, Lord Jesus. How we need Him today. How we need the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. See, John's disciples didn't just follow John, they followed Jesus because John pointed to Jesus. These were disciples of Jesus. They were baptized. Now watch. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism matters. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Wasn't a big group. Brother Branham preached it as a major doctrine. Because many churches said, I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. But then they didn't behave like they had the Holy Ghost. And they denied parts of the Word of God. So Brother Rand said, that ain't no Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost will say amen to every Word of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost won't reason the Word of God away. The Holy Ghost will say amen. And what we're saying today is the Holy Ghost will cause you to take action based on that Word. Right? He stressed this as a doctrine. Now, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Showing that the Holy Ghost experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is something that we experience after we believe. Now, it's true, there are some people that experienced it right after they believed, in the house of Cornelius. We know that's true, but their ground was prepared there. Their expectations, they weren't believing wrong. They had pure faith, and they believed and received, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then there was a manifestation in their life that the Holy Ghost had come. Because Peter recognized, hey, they did the same thing we did on the day of Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
They had an experience. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. There's one coming after you that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a real, literal experience that we have with the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, and it causes a change from the inside out. It changes us. And there's a manifestation at that time and afterwards. Something happened there. If there's no change in your life, did it happen? See, the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual thing. It's not an intellectual, well, I believe in Jesus, so, and yeah, now I believe the Word. And it's an experience with the Spirit of God. When someone's baptized in water, and they're put down in the water, and the water covers them, they're completely surrounded, the water is all over them, they feel the sensation of the water. And I say that when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you feel the Holy Ghost surrounding you, inside of you, exploding inside of you. Something happens.
Amen.
And then you know you're different. You didn't create the difference, but this that happened to you makes a difference. And we live in a day where people are taking a quote from Brother Branham, receiving the Holy Ghost without sensations. But what about the other quotes that he said when there never was a time that anybody ever received the Holy Ghost without manifestations and sensations? So this emphasis on the wrong side is totally out of balance, because Brother Branham said that quote to people that were relying on sensations. They had speaking in tongues and prophesying and gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were amongst the Pentecostals. So he was trying to bring them back. And now you take that quote, which was trying to bring people back, and you say it today where people are dead. You're making them more dead, more intellectual. I say we need the same Holy Ghost experience that was in the book of Acts. And when I read the book of Acts, I see a lot of sensations.
Yes.
I see a lot of manifestations. I see the supernatural power of God. And that should be our expectation, that there's going to be a real change in our life. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's the seal of God. It's a sign that God has received your faith. And if your faith's wrong, he can't seal it, like the inspector in the rail cars. He goes through knocking the boxes. Ah, I can't seal this. It's not ready for the journey. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And if some of your faith is not right, he can't seal it. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
It's the token. In the Old Testament, the blood on the doorpost was the token. The token had to be on display. There had to be something visible. The blood was on the door. Today, the token still has to be visible, but it's not the literal blood of the sacrifice. It's the life that was in Christ coming back into us. And when his life comes back into us, it's visible. Not to us and to the world. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
There is nothing more important than having the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why do I say that? Because we are at the end. Who knows whether this nuclear thing and this scare with North Korea could cause the end? You know, people say, oh, maybe not. But it could lead to a disaster. We got irresponsible people in charge with great power. They could very quickly cause trouble. And all of a sudden, we're at the end. We know we're at the end even without that. God sent a prophet, Israel in the homeland. It's been 50 years. We know it's time for Jesus to come back.
Amen.
And the way to get out of here is you got to have a token on display. And the true token is not saying, I believe Brother Bram's a prophet. The true token is not saying, I believe. The true token is having that experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know that I know that I know, because I was there and something happened that changed my life, and I conform to the word of God even when my flesh doesn't want to. Praise the Lord. If I say something wrong, I get spanked. Praise God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Correction comforts a Christian. If you don't like correction, I say you're not a Christian. I'm talking about godly correction from the Word of God. I'm not talking about being corrected by someone who has a wrong spirit or has a wrong idea. But the Word of God, in love, that kind of correction, Christians love it. Yes, I didn't see that. I don't want to be wrong. And I've preached around different places, not all over the world, but different places. And everywhere I go, it seems like real Christians say, thank you. I want to be corrected. And the wrong spirits go, try and find fault. Try and find excuse. Don't want to say they're wrong. Oh, we need to be able to say we're wrong.
Amen.
We need to, you know, not have somebody have to pull it out of us to say that we're wrong. but from our hearts. I'm wrong. I manifested a wrong spirit. I need repentance in my life. The Holy Spirit is calling us to action. I believe He's calling us to true repentance, and not just for no reason, because He wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
He wants to pour out His Spirit. Praise God. You got a little more time? All right. Brother Bram said, if Shakespeare lives in you, you'll do the works of Shakespeare. He said, you'll write plays and poems. He said, if Beethoven lived in you, what will you do? He's a composer. If Beethoven lives in you, the works of Beethoven you would do. That makes sense, doesn't it? He said, but Christ lives in you. So the works of Christ, you will do. That's very simple, isn't it? If Christ lives in you, the works of Christ you will do. John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. What kind of works did he do? Look at the works of Christ. Read the Gospels. He was a deliverer. He was a friend to sinners. He didn't partake of their sin, but he helped them to deliver them. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Oh, Brother John, can we do that? He said you would do it. He said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall ye do also.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Where's your faith? If Christ lives in you, the works of Christ will be done for you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works he did, the life he lived and everything. If it would live in you, like Shakespeare and Beethoven or whatever lived in you, it's his life. But if you're still living your own life, then your own works will do. You'll do. See? But if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is in you, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. If your doubts, listen, if your doubts and frustrations about God's promises in you, then Christ isn't there. That's a hard statement. See, what is it that's having preeminence in you? Doubts and frustrations, or faith in the Word of God? See, Christ believes His Word. He knows it's true. So you're only worked up, but if the life of Christ is living in you, the Word, His Word, He will recognize, and His promise He'll do. Now listen, look away to Jesus. 63, now, we believe the same gospel just the way the Bible's written. It's zeroed. And if the gun is exactly zeroed in tune, if it strikes the target the first time, it'll strike the second time and every time. Listen to what he's saying. If a tree or a limb or a vine puts out a branch, and that branch bears a certain fruit, the next time the vine puts out a branch, it'll bear the same kind of fruit. And if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the first branch church that vine put out wrote a book of Acts behind it, and that first branch baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they had the living God among them and did the same things among them that he did when he was on earth. Therefore, that people taken notice, they'd, even though they were unlearned and ignorant, they'd been with Jesus because his life was through them. As I said, if the spirit of Beethoven's in me, I write songs. If Shakespeare's in me, I write poems and plays. And if Christ lives in me, the works of Christ will do. Right? It's got to be. And what is Christ? The Word. If ye abide in me and my word in you, then ask what you will to be done. Because the Word is there, just needs light, and the light makes it live. So here's the challenge. If you're really a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, where's your expectations? Well, you know, Brother John, we look at the circumstances today. What does that have to do with it? You know, we look around, the churches don't seem... What does that have to do with it? That's all reasoning. That's all noise. Faith has hair on its chest. It's a strong, it's a bulldog. It says, I believe regardless of the conditions, God's word is true. And I'm a believer and I'm expecting these signs to follow me. I'm expecting God to keep his word. We need that kind of faith. Praise God. If the life is Christ within us, the Holy Ghost will punctuate every word with an amen. So we need to examine our lives, and I'll challenge you. Listen, don't go looking at somebody else to take a little speck out of their eye when you got this huge beam in your own eye. Jesus said that. I'll say now, in my opinion, and I feel like a young Christian, even though it was 30 years ago, I had an experience with God. But in 30 years, it's a trick of the devil to get you or I or any of us to focus on someone else's faults. That is the biggest trick of the devil, because then you don't notice your own. You don't see your own need while you're focusing on somebody else. Look how bad they are. That's a trick of the devil. Just pray for them, commit them to God. And then look inside and say, Lord, you can come in here and conquer this throne here. And if I give you control, then you'll be a positive influence on my family, the people I work with, and everything. But if I live in here, I can't do anything. But if you have preeminence in me, you can affect all the people that are wrong around me. Don't focus on them. Focus on your own needs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another quote, because Brother Branham challenged, and I'm going to try and finish up here. Do you have a couple minutes? I know I'm taking a little longer than normal. Actually, on Thursday night, I said, Amber, so anyway, it's hard for me sometimes. You know, when I'm sitting there, I'm like, do people feel like they just want it to end? You know, like, I hate to say that. You know, I love that brother, but I was just kind of like struggling myself. And so, praise the Lord. I hope he doesn't hear that tape. So, I did love the brother. I liked what he had to say. So, Brother Branham says this in Wisdom versus Faith. Now, follow along. This quote has always stuck with me as a challenge. And it was meant to be a challenge. Satan knew the Bible as good as Jesus did, Brother Branham said. It wouldn't work for Satan. No matter how much knowledge you have, it won't work. Now take that back to some of the big organizations. Think of it a minute. They say, well, we got the word. Well, around the message, everybody says they got the word. Let me see it work. That's what Brother Rand said. Let me see it work. You Catholics, you say you're the original. Let's see it. Show me your works. Show me your works. Not by your faith. Show me your works. I'll show you mine by my faith, by my works. See what the word said. Now listen, Brother Branham, can you plant a seed without it manifesting what it is, if it's growing? Can you plant a grain of corn without making corn, if it grows? Can you plant a potato, and we love potatoes, lest it raise a potato? Can you plant a flower without it being that kind of flower? Do you see what he's saying? If there's a seed, it's got to grow. It's got to be what it is. See, then if you're sowed, and the seed of God is in your heart, it's got to produce that. Amen. Jesus said, he shall do my works if he believes me. If he says he believes it and he don't follow him, he's a liar. Woo! Brother Rand's saying, let's make it clear. Jesus said, if he believes me, my works will do. If he says he believes me and my works don't follow him, he's a liar. Wow. Think about that. All right. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, even more than this should do, for I go to my Father. Why, it's strong. Just don't let it hit the skidding place and slide off over into rock somewhere. They just fall down in the valley and the winds can blow it away and the fowls get it. It'll grow and hide it down your heart. To me, it's a challenge. Mark 16, these signs shall follow. How many times did Brother Branham say, not they should, not they might, they shall follow them that believe? He's saying if God is in there, it's going to manifest. So here's the challenge. If we don't see God manifesting, we need to get serious with God. Amen. We need to get down to business. It's not enough to see that the message is right. It's not enough to know the Bible's right. We've got to pursue God until we receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and Christ is being manifested through us. Don't sit back. What kind of life do we want here? A life where we're overcome by the devil? We are overcomers in this age, not because of our works, but because he lives in us and he overcomes through us. Praise God. It's a matter of expectations. Do you expect God to keep his word? If you do, stand on it. Amen. Sickness comes into your home. Listen, I'm not against doctors, but you have a right as a son, a daughter of God, and say, I'm a believer, and these signs shall follow me. Come here, sickness. Take that child or that person to the front door, open the door and say, devil, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Casting out devils is a work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a minister. You have to be a believer. Oh, Brother John, I don't know. Listen, don't be afraid. God gave you the promise. He gave Israel the land. But they had to fight for every inch of it. And that's the way it is with the land of the Holy Ghost. God give you the promise, but he wants you to fight for it. He wants you to claim it. Footsteps is possession. Lately, when I go out and preach, I'm challenging people to believe for healing. And we've had manifestations of healing. People come back and say later, I had this. Recently, we had one of the Avery boys, James. He was lactose intolerant his whole life. He said even when the stories of nursing as a baby, there was a problem. He couldn't drink milk. And we were out there at Brother Hunter's church, and I was so inspired. I said, we're going to have a Mark 16 prayer line. And we're going to pray, and we're going to believe. And he told me months later, he said, I went up there believing, and I've been delivered ever since. I drink milk, and I'm totally healed. I was up in Canada one time, and the same thing, and I said, let's have a Mark 16 prayer line. These signs shall follow. It doesn't even say we have to pray. I just make the people come up front, and we believe. And we've done the same thing here. And I had a call back from Brother Carmen Mills. He said, listen, I'd want to know. He said, after that prayer line, the pastor's wife, she couldn't lift her arm up. But after that, she was able to lift her arm. She had a problem with her shoulder. Say, oh, that's minor. That's God. It's a manifestation of God. It's not me. But you know what it is? Boldness with the word of God. And Jesus is calling you today to be bold with your faith. To put it into action. Don't just say you're a Christian. Prove you're a Christian by standing on the word of God. You can't make miracles happen. He does that. But he wants you to stand on the word of God, claim the word of God, confess the word of God, believe for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's a call to action today. You know, Brother Bram said, we have the mechanics, but we need the dynamics. You know what he said the dynamics is? The dynamics is a refilling of the Holy Spirit. He said the church is ready. The church is ready. He said, the dynamics of the church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone's coming down to unite the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's in Christ for hundreds of years will raise in the beauty of holiness and take a flight in the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. You see, if you want the word to be made alive in your life, you need the Holy Ghost more than anything. And we need to pursue that Holy Ghost experience and pursue the Holy Ghost preeminence, just like the merchant with the pearl of great price, just like the man who found a treasure hid. Sell out everything, whatever that means to you. Just sell out everything. Say, Lord, I got to have it. I'm going to diligently seek you until I see you manifest your word in my life. Where do you want to live? We want to live in higher ground. I feel this is on me, brother, sister. God is calling me, you, us, to live what we say we believe. To expect God to be a supernatural God. The rapture is not going to be intellectual. It's going to happen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads to Him. If anybody needs prayer, you just come forward. I don't like forcing people. If you want prayer, I'll believe with you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for grace and the faith that you give us, Lord. But Jesus, there's something in us that we cannot rest till we see that word made manifest. We're expecting you, Lord, to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I know it's not based on my worthiness. I'm unworthy to stand here, Lord. I confess that. But you are worthy, Lord. And Calvary was a complete sacrifice. And I do believe that our faith in that blood washes away our sins, Lord. I do believe that, Lord. Lord, there's something pushing from the inside. There's something saying there's a higher walk and that we need to take action. Help me, Lord, to do your will. Lord, I ask you to bless this local body, though we be small in number. But Lord, may we be like the church at Ephesus, though they were small in number, but they received the word and they manifested the word of God. Grant it, Lord. Bless each one today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Only Believe as some people coming forward. And if you need anything, I don't care what it is. All things are possible if we only believe. Let's sing Only Believe together. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All